Hey, welcome to another episode of Why Not You. This is your host, D. Wells, coming to you live from the Why Not You studios in Sacramento. In this episode of Why Not You, I am speaking with Mr. Terrell Muhammad, Coach T, Mr. LOP himself. He's going to share his journey and the system he lives by, LOP's life operating principles that helped him to assimilate and apply the systems he lived by taking massive action. You don't reach a level of success as he has without discipline, taking risk, having faith in himself, and having a clear vision. He's a thinker, he's a motivator, he's a business owner, he's a life coach, and a husband for over 20 years. Join me as I talk with Coach T as he shares his passion for helping others create routines and systems that will help one succeed by putting an accountability system in place. Let's go. All righty. We just hop on into it real quick. All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, this is a Why Not You podcast. This is D. Wells, your host, and I am joined today by Mr. Terrell Muhammad.
Why not you? I'm just saying, why not you?
Hey, man, there's a couple things I want to do before we get started, but I definitely have to give some people some perspective just on your background real quick with your bio. Because to me, I mean, you just think about some of the things that you've been able to accomplish. I know if some people think about their age and they limit themselves just with ideas and dreams that they have, and they use that age as an excuse not to pursue anything. But man, you started off born and raised in Frisco, married to your wife for over 21 years, living in the Walnut Creek area, had the opportunity to go to Paris, France, and do some studies, some international studies. How many people think about it but never do it? Then you start taking off in real estate from there, co-founder of an airline in Concord. I wouldn't even think about having an airline, you know. Maybe
we didn't either. So, you know, welcome to the world of being unreasonable.
And check this out. Of his many accomplishments, he is proud to have invested in Black Wall Street Records, which housed many amazing San Francisco artists. But to a surprise, the team recruited an unknown artist from Los Angeles that debuted an independent album called Untold Story in 2004, eventually being bought out by Aftermath Records and Dr. Dre. The artist went on to be a multi-Grammy platinum artist named The Game, y'all.
Yeah.
That's cold. That's cold right there.
Yeah. Well, I can't take any credit for that. That was one of our local artists by the name of JT, the Bigger Figure. So he was the foundation to all of that. And I was just one of the main investors who helped launch that particular venue. So yeah, that was dope. But it was a great experience. The music industry is a beast, and if you're not fully in it, you know, you gotta enter that with extreme caution.
You said with extreme caution.
100%.
Yeah,
that's like a mafia game. You know what I'm saying?
The
music industry is a real beast, you know. And I still have a few family members that are in that industry. So shout out to them. You know.
I don't.
All right, bro. Let's rock and roll then. What you got for today?
Man, I'm going to start it off with a quote because I know you all about life operating principles.
Yeah.
And when I came across these couple quotes, I was like, man, this is T to the max right here. Every time you go against your principles and your goals, you cause a deficit in your life. The other one is stop violating your principles in order to fit in people who have no principles.
You know, that one is actually pretty deep there, because I think in reality that throughout life, we sometimes think we don't live by principles, but we somehow have adapted to principles just through our experiences, right?
Right.
And so knowing through our experiences that we have some type of principles, whether it's street principles, right? or corporate principles, like we're living through someone principles and values. So the real question becomes, what values and principles are you and I and we are actually living from? And does it align with who we are becoming? Oh, man.
Now you're getting some people to reflect and think about who they truly are and what they really want to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. Because now it's like, okay, the first question that you and I can ask out of the gate is, am I the best version of me? Mm-hmm. Like, we literally can start there.
Right.
Because if we're not the very best version of who we are and who we could be, the question is, who are you then? And that's a cold question. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. That's a cold question out of the gate, because you may be living a life that may not be up to par, but we haven't taken the time to reflect on the true principle and values of the best version of us. And that could be a little scary. Yeah. That can show us where our blind spots are. Mm-hmm. And in fact, it will show us where our triggers are, because sometimes triggers don't come up when you plan them. You know, you don't plan, you know, you don't plan to have an appointment at 9 a.m. Okay, I'm gonna have a trigger come up. And no, triggers come up at the worst moment, and it can emotionally impact us in the direction that we may be having for the day or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
But it's important to outline triggers, because it becomes the foundation of who we are or who we have become.
Mm-hmm. And just the fact that you said triggers, it made me think about how life can test what you really want to do.
Yeah.
And so if you're moving and you're grinding and you hustling, all of a sudden you come across an obstacle or a challenge, life just has a way of challenging the true authenticity of what it is that you really want to do. Mm. And so that test right there, be like, okay, are you willing to really go through this wall?
Yeah.
Or are you just going to sit back and just allow these people to dictate, or whatever the circumstance is, just distract you from what it is that you really want to do?
Yeah. Now that's the true recipe of success, right? Because sometimes our trauma can be the recipe of our true success. Wow. And the trauma, if we look at it, you know, we always say, you know, we're always competing against man and or his will desires. Like, so if you're in competition with other men and women for, you know, your goals and objectives, you're now competing against someone else desire or will that they are looking to bring into fruition versus yours.
Uh-huh.
So the question becomes is, how strong is your desire to accomplish your will in some form or fashion? And that's why you say, you know, that's why we say you got to keep your mantras in front of you, because somebody is going to take you off your kill.
Right.
So it's not that they're going to take you off. It's your resilience, your perseverance to what you are looking to accomplish. I mean, we talked about that at the King's Conference the other day.
Sure did. Yep. Wait.
See, and we was just seeding them
right
to what is going to come in the next 5, 10, 15 years. I mean, they don't have probably a clue.
They don't.
Right? To what they were learning, but it's going to come back up in terms of resilience, life, and they're going to need values and principles by which they operate in the future if they're going to sustain long-term presence, you know, to be able to exist. I mean, we were just talking about that. One mistake can have you and I off the keel, and it can ruin the rest of our lives.
Yeah. And I know, like, just with talking, and I shared this with you, like, talking with one of the kids there, he lost his mom and his grandmother 2 months apart from one another in 2020. And this is a sophomore in high school.
Yeah.
And nobody really knows or understand what he's going through or the pain that he feels. But he has to find a way somehow to manage and make it through life with all this stuff on his shoulders. And so he needs somebody to walk alongside of him. And so when you think about that kind of trauma, I mean, these kids experience PTSD.
Yeah, right now.
Know it right now.
And don't even know it. So what are we talking about, guys? We're talking about the annual King's Conference that we normally throw, powered by Antioch Rotary, Antioch Unified School District, along with a host of sponsors and so forth. But the King's Conference normally is 150 youth that is, in fact, getting workshops and so forth through facilitators like you and I to be able to help them, teach them through our life experience. Look, you're going to need a blueprint through life, and you're going to have to decipher and become more of a critical thinker throughout our society in a way that's going to help you become the very best version of you. I mean, it's almost like they're going through a war zone. Like, you and I have gone through war zones, and we don't even know it because they come up as trauma. But these events and circumstances really is the very recipe that makes us who we are, resilient in times of what we are looking to accomplish in life. Yeah. And so we have to take some of the negative stigma of our events, traumas, and or blind spots, and attempt to incorporate them into the very essence of who we are through routines and habits and systems and all of the other things that helps us become more accountable to what we're looking to become.
Mm-hmm. And I know that you actually mentioned, you know, Ron Jeezy and going to celebrate an awesome feat that he actually did with being in AA.
Yeah.
It's not having any. And so when you talk about the trauma aspect, man, it just made me think about, okay, here I am as a young boy, parents divorced at the age of 7.
Yeah.
Go live with moms, pops, that still staying in the Milpitas area. And then here I am at a young age thinking I'm the man at 7, right? But still, I got to process all this other internal stuff that I saw that transpired before the divorce happened. So here I am just having to deal with this stuff. And it wasn't till my uncle actually invited me to one of his AA meetings just to kind of go there and see how things are, is that I actually kind of understood like with what healing is all about. But at the same time, I really didn't even know what I was receiving. But looking back, you know, you can actually go like, oh, this is how, you know, this is therapy right here.
Yeah.
And so now what kind of therapy are we gonna provide for these youth? And some older people also who are still struggling.
Especially older people, because the trauma is so embedded into us that sometimes we don't even realize that we are facing temporary challenges and issues in our own life. Mm-hmm. But that's kind of really the good thing of what we do on a weekly basis with the King's Accountability Group. Shout out to them. In terms of the ability to recognize, look, we're not judging you of where you're at. We are hoping that you will come as authentic as you can, but we also know and realize that you have trauma. Mm-hmm. Whether you're successful or not, because the trauma of being successful, the trauma of losing everything, the trauma of having relational issues sometimes stems from our very childhood. And you and I have to have a better processing mechanism that allows us to uncover and discover the greatness that is embedded in us. You know, we talk about having mantras and mission statements and so forth. But once you have that, now we have to reverse engineer the routines and systems, the habits and the accountability, and make these small adjustments so it becomes more palatable. Right? Because because sometimes it's like going into the military. You don't want to give them too much. You want to give them enough where they can digest the information, and based on where they're at in life, they will start accepting the principles of becoming the very best version of you. Like it was interesting to me to watch AA because they have the 12 point systems. But knowing that, hey, that allows you and me to follow a blueprint becoming the very best version of you and I. What is your blueprint? What is your recipe based on your experiences? And where do you want to go in life? And that can be tough when you're scattered all over the place. And sometimes we have to take that pause and reverse engineer and figure out, okay, where am I? And where do I want to go? And what environment do I need to be in to help me grow into the person that I want to become?
That's it. You said that. No, that is some stuff that people really need to think about and consider. Like, what is it that you need or that you want to become?
Yeah. That it, I think
so many people, and this is going to be a question, but so many people allow the past to dictate who they are today.
Yeah.
Without shifting their mindset. And I know that you got a pass. Your pass is off. And some people are like, man, T went through that. How in the world did this brother come out? At what point or what happened in your life where you actually shifted, where your mindset just shifted to be like, okay, I need to do something else. I need to get on another road.
Yeah. So that's a great question. Because all throughout high school, I was an athlete, but we were athletes into all type of stuff, stealing cars, smoking weed, drinking, all of the things that teenagers are sometimes involved in because of environment and no accountability. Mm-hmm. It wasn't until I went off to college, got to see a more expanded lifestyle that we could be. You know, when you're watching others, you're not necessarily comparing yourself, although you are, because you're like, okay, huh, these guys have strength. These women have strength. Like, you start to learn how people are operating at a different level. Mm-hmm. Now, that didn't stop us from drinking and smoking and all the other stuff in college, because we thought that was the modus of operandi. Mm-hmm. Right? So reaching the level of success in school, we were drinking every single day, you know? And one of my partners said, man, we need to get out of here in like my second or third year of college and go overseas. And I'm thinking to myself, why would I go overseas when I am very successful right now?
Yeah.
I'm on a step show council. I had pledged Alpha Phi Alpha. You know, I'm a vice president of the organization. I'm like, I'm good. Hey, there's no. But man, something just clicked. And all of a sudden, I had the opportunity to now go to school and live in Paris, France, mm-hmm. and see a different exposure of life. All right. Now, my first month in Paris, France was kind of chaotic because I didn't know how to actually deal with the culture assimilation of everybody and so forth. Mm-hmm. But a couple weeks into actually being in the environment, I was able to shift. You know, you kind of get in the area, you're trying to figure out where you are, how do you bet, like, what's the goals, you know? Yeah. So I started thinking about the goals and everything else, but I believe that is when the shift happened, is the exposure of a new culture, a new school, mm-hmm. a new environment. Ooh. We had an apartment. So yeah, we were still kind of reckless.
Right.
Right. But the exposure led us to meeting different people. I remember meeting one of the children of a diplomat. I didn't know what a diplomat was. I had to look that up because we were going out, going to parties, and we were getting stopped by police, and they were like, okay, yep, you guys can go. You guys have immunity. I'm like, what in the world is all of these languages that they're referring to? And this doesn't happen in the United States of America. And she went on to explain, yeah, my father represent this country of, and, you know, we tend to sometimes have, you know, immunity on different type of situations. So again, I'm learning, listening, observing, looking at blood. Now, this was something interesting because I thought I was doing something really educational by reading the USA Today. Uh-huh. Like every day I would be checking on the United States, you know, looking at the news, you know, the USA was pretty looking. The layout is cute.
Yeah, it was.
You know what I'm saying? And the sister said, you know, you really should read more and expand your horizon by reading the Wall Street Journal and the New York Times. I'm thinking the papers look boring. You know what I'm saying? You know, they don't have the cartoons. You know?
Ain't no color.
But I listen. I start reading the Le Monde newspaper, which is the French newspaper out there in Paris. Man, this is, bro, expansion. Like you and I got to figure out, like we said, are you the very best version of you? If you are, cool. But if you not,
yeah.
why aren't you? Why aren't I? And figure out the exposure piece that you and I need to be in and around that will help us be able to put a better blueprint in place that will help us expose the mind to a way that allows us to grow. So yeah, there are going to be failures along the way, but then the exposure piece is amazing because now, you know, I think it should be a requirement personally that all students in the U.S. Study abroad. I think it should be absolutely a requirement. Why? So that you understand the globalness that is around the world rather than your block or neighborhood or city that you may be living in, and recognize that there are so many different opportunities that is available. Look, when I was in Paris, they're required to learn two languages, and English is one of them. So here I'm talking to French students and people, they already have the language down packed because they've been learning it since they was 2, 3, 4 years of age. Mm-hmm. I was just in Zimba, Zambia, and my driver in South Africa spoke 14 languages.
Golly.
Now, he's the driver.
But he could make a killing here in the U.S. if he can.
Oh, 100%. This dude would dominate and run rings around most of the people out here. So the exposure piece is, look, you and I got to get in a environment, whether it's uncomfortable or not, that will expose us to becoming the ever-evolving better version of you and I. So to answer your question, I believe exposure to better things is where we start pivoting. It may be uncomfortable, but that is a part of our and learning of our what we call emotional barometer, so that it keeps us on our keel to help us push us and pull in the desired will that we're looking to accomplish.
Wow. Man, when you mentioned just getting out the comfort zone and being exposed to a different environment, I remember, man, just going back to Florida, my cousin who was in the military, he lived with us shortly before he actually went to college, and he ended up going to FAMU. Mm-hmm. And then he ended up, you know, graduating there, was in the ROTC, and, you know, he did his time in the military. So by this time, I'm 20 years old. He's like, D, what you gonna do? He said, you know, you going to these JCs, and man, you need to find out what your plan is and make it happen. Mm-hmm. And so he's like, man, you need to come out here to Florida. And so, man, I ended up going out to Florida, and I tell you what, man, I ended up going to Florida A&M, and I was like, what in the world am I in?
Yeah,
being from Mountain View, you know, that's all I saw was Silicon Valley,
right?
Not too many people of color.
Yeah.
Except, you know, if I go to East Palo Alto, O-Town.
Right.
But I'm talking about where there were some progressive Black folks who had like intentionality and were focused. And I was like, man, that environment changed the way I thought. And I just remember coming back. I was like, okay, I need to get on the grind. I ended up coming back and I was more focused. Then my cousin started a janitorial business. Left the St. Pete Times, started a janitorial business. I was like, cuz, what you doing? He was like, this is what I got going on. I started a janitorial business. This is who I'm hanging with. I was like, okay, I want to learn it. Man, I went out there for 2 weeks, learned the business, came back home, started going through the yellow pages and just calling, just making things happen.
Yeah.
But it's amazing, like, once you see something, you identify. Because everybody has that hunger and that thirst. It's just about finding what it is.
Yeah.
And then just
and taking that action.
And you said something that was key. You said the word intentionality. Like, intentionality is a key ingredient to our success. And regardless to where you and I are at, if 10 is an extreme success, being a 3 and a 4 is okay. Because if you're a 3, you should be aiming for 4. If you are a 6, you should be aiming for being a 7. And so when I got back from Paris, I immediately got into real estate in 1996. Now, 1996 is kind of antiquated because I took the test and I failed. I took the test 2 times. I failed. Now, this is when you had to wait 6 to 8 weeks to get your result. That don't happen today. You can get your result almost immediately. That's why I be telling my wife and them, man, y'all lucky. Y'all got it easy. You know what I'm saying? Because, look, I failed the test, I want to say 5 or 6 times. And then I finally passed. I knew I was going to pass.
Yeah.
It was just a measure of, okay, what do I need to do? What is my intention? My intention is to get into this business and make an impact. Mm-hmm. Now, mind you, my family, my friend, like most of them laughed at me because there was no people around us that was in the business, doing the business and so forth. Mm-hmm. So it was new charted territory. So sometimes when we get into industries, it's going to be new uncharted territory, but you and I have to have a goal and intention and be willing to sacrifice whatever that sacrifice may be, mm-hmm. that we would do it. We would do anything that is on the right road to accomplish that goal. So, you know, within a couple of years, I became the president of the local real estate trade association. So now people aren't laughing anymore.
No, right?
Right?
People are always hating, but you guys, I don't get it. I don't get it sometimes.
And I don't think, especially family and our social peers,
right.
like sometimes I don't think that they know that they are really, you know, creating a negative environment or a negative support for us when we are attempting to do new things. Right. I think sometimes, you know, it becomes a measure of them trying to protect you from hurting yourself in some form or fashion. So I think sometimes people do it. Yes, you got a few that's like, you ain't gone, you know, and they're truly hating. But on the other hand, that's where we have to start putting in our blinders and start creating life operating principles that supports what we are looking to accomplish.
Right. And I know you real big on LOPs, life operating principles, and it's all about systems, habits, routines, and how you need to incorporate this stuff in order to be really successful.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's real.
When in your life did you recognize that this had to be something just part of your life and to make it a significant component?
Yeah, great question. You know, D, I think and believe, you know, LOPs is always been a part of what we do, right? Because LOPs is nothing more than routines and system and habits that you and I have that helps us become the very best version of ourselves. So before I went to college, I was working at a law firm called Pillsbury Madison and Sutro. It was the second largest law firm in the U.S. when I first started working there, they gave me what was called an SOP, a standard operating procedures. Why? They did that so that they would maximize my productivity and to reduce risk and liability to the company, the firm, and so forth, as I was doing a lot of the paperwork, you know, a lot of the paralegal stuff. So understanding systems, I kind of already got it. But then I realized, why do I keep making the same mistake over and over and over? And like, bro, if they were giving me out PhDs in making errors, I would have got my long time. I would have killed it. I would have had several PhDs in different fields and industries. Real talk. So understanding that these LOPs became crucial really is when things started to fall. So yes, I was at the peak of the real estate industry. I started hiring friends and family to work for me and so forth. Ooh. Now I didn't know how to give out roles and responsibilities. I wasn't that good. So I went through and blew over $4 million in reserves and 4.8 to be, and some change to be exact, because that's when I started dating my girlfriend at the time, who's now my wife. And I was like, look, you may want to jump off this ship because we're tanking. The Titanic is going down.
And then it hit, man, that iceberg.
Ready to hit. The iceberg is right ahead. And I see it. Like right now, it's a fog, but there's something right there. Uh-huh. And slowly, within 18 months, bro, I was down to $158. I told my girlfriend at the time, look, I can't do this no more. You know, I'm going to let you go. And she's like, what you talking about? You know? So look, I literally had to have her pay my cell phone bill at that time. And, you know, and she was like, okay, yeah, I'll take care of your cell phone bill. But she didn't ask me how much, D. My cell phone bill was already 4 to 6 months.
Negative.
Behind in months, so the bill was like $1,500. She was like, damn, what kind of cell phone bill you got? And I was paying for my mom's telephone bill at the time. So it was double what was normally needed, you know. So anyway, she paid it to keep the lights on, right on. To keep the phone on. And we slowly started rebuilding. But that's when I recognized, I will never, ever, ever get in this situation again.
Yeah.
And putting in operational procedures, putting in LOPs that align with who I was, but who I was becoming. Mm-hmm. And that took me looking at what my values and principles were as an individual, as a person, because, you know, everybody can roll with you when everything is good.
Right.
But when the money's started to disappear, there was no one on my left and no one on my right. I was solo bolo.
Wow. And man, you end up having to reinvent yourself.
Literally.
And so when I think about it, when I think about you just having to reinvent yourself, that's when you know you've been in a place, you've learned that you're resilient, that you can handle anything. Stuff stuff that people already said that, man, you're not going to be good at this. Why are you doing this anyway? They were probably happy about it. But at the same time, you know, this is what I'm built for. You don't know who I am.
So I'm about to go to the mountaintop. Y'all just going to have to wait and see. But I'm about to return. I'm about to make it happen.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Now, I wish it was that easy and fast, because it took 3 to 5 years to get me even out of a slump. You know, I went back to what I knew, and that was drinking. That was hanging out in negative environments. So as I was doing soul searching, my wife became my rock. You know what I'm saying? She became the third party to really help guide and motivate me in a way that helped me execute at a higher level while I'm going through this journey, this process of purification. Because that's really what it was. All of the turmoil, all of the debt, all of the stuff that you and I go through in life, you know, you don't think about it being temporary while you're going through it.
You sure
do. I mean, that's nice.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's not going to be. But when you're going through it, it's like oxygen.
It is. But the thing is, man, how many people actually, you know, once they encounter or they're going through a storm, how many people just stay stuck in the storm? They don't keep on moving, knowing that there's going to be an end to this storm, or you just going to get to the light one day. It might not be today or tomorrow, but if you just keep moving through the storm, you'll get there.
Yeah.
But that's
that's why you have to align yourself with those who are doing things that are of value. Mm-hmm. You know, my cousin CB was one of those key persons that I went to when I was out of oxygen.
It's about the gasping for air.
Gasping for air. You're in the middle of the ocean. And the tide keeps going over you. Yeah. Right? You know, I said, man, I need 40 racks. And he was like, you need what? Well, him and his brother, they start cussing and doing all of this. What the hell you need? Hey, bro. I'm underwater.
Yeah.
I just need this to survive, you know? And man, he didn't give me 40, but I think he gave me like 3 or 5 to kind of, you know, help you, you know, just get a few more airs, right? But believe it or not, that was the oxygen that I needed. Mm-hmm. At that time. And it took several years to get him that back. And I gave it back with interest because I wanted him to know that I appreciate you at that time and that your investment in me was worthy of the situation at that particular time. So yeah, I think when you're going through stuff, you gotta figure out a mission and a mantra statement for yourself that is going to help you overcome and put your blinders on and help you become a better version of you during when nobody else believes in you. You got to believe in yourself.
All right. Guess what? That's not it, y'all. That's just part one. You got to stay tuned for part two next week. We are just getting into the nitty gritty, and we will be continuing the conversation with Coach T. For now, I want you guys to have a blessed week. And remember, we can't become what we need if we remain where we are. Mr. John Maxwell.